everyone. This is an incredible time in history in terms of women's empowerment. Yet, unfortunately, women remain one of the greatest untapped resources for economic development in many countries, not just Africa. As most of you will know, that tourism provides significant opportunities for involving women in tourism businesses. But again, we have a very long way to go before we achieve the UN SDG goal of goal number 5 of empowering all women and girls. So it's with great pleasure we have 3 female panelists here today to talk about empowering African women through tourism. The first guest I'd like to introduce is Michelle Christie. So Michelle's work, her past and present work, has led to her empowering more than 300 women entrepreneurs, which that has translated into revenue for those businesses of more than 2 million US. So fantastic work Michelle is doing in Africa and other Asian countries. Our second guest is Mary Ragui. Mary actually got fed up and was absolutely determined to close the gender equality gap in Africa and went from being an employee to an entrepreneur more than 13 years ago. She runs Favors Tours and Safaris in Kenya. She is also executive board member of CATO, which is the Kenyan Association of Tour Operators, and is an ambassador for Maiden Voyages International, where she advises women who are coming to visit Kenya for business. So welcome, Mary. And our third panelist is Sarah Clayton-Turner. Sarah is the chairwoman of AWTE, which is the Association for Women Travel Executives here in the UK. And whilst Sarah doesn't have any direct work in Africa, AWTE's membership is open to African women as well. And today she's going to bring lessons learned and insights from the work that AWT has done on women's issues in the UK. And I'm Libby Owen Edmonds. I'm your moderator today. I am an international tourism specialist who is focused on accelerating tourism businesses' economic, social, and environmental impact. I work all across Asia and the Pacific. Today's session, we're going to split it into 3 components. We're going to start with talking about what some of the challenges are for African women entrepreneurs in tourism. Then we're going to look at the solutions, and then we'll open it out to you all to ask questions. So let's start with the challenges. As I said, the focus will probably be on mainly on Kenya because of Mary and Michelle's fantastic experience in that country. So in Kenya, women make up almost a half of the workforce, yet they're grossly underrepresented in terms of business ownership. I think the figure in Kenya is about 9% of businesses are owned by women. And in comparison to the UK and America, I think the figure in the UK is 17%, and in America it's quite high at 30%. So Mary, you are an entrepreneur. You started your business 13 years ago. So what were some of the challenges that you faced?
Thank you so much for having me on this panel. My name is Mary, and for Favor Tours and Safaris. 13 years ago, I started my journey, leaving employment to being the entrepreneur. And some of the challenges that I faced were, first of all, registration. I did not know that it was that difficult until when I left employment. Everyone was asking me, how are you going to make it? I did not quite understand what they were talking about. But then I realized that I had to carry my husband into every office for him to say, I agree. I then had to carry him to the banks for him to say, I can open an account. More to that, I could not withdraw money. even the money itself, I could not get a collateral to give to the bank. And if I had anything on my name, my husband had to be called upon to say, I agree. And therefore, as a result of that, finance was a major problem. The other problem that I faced was discrimination. Tourism industry is male-dominated in Kenya when it comes to ownership. But then you find that many women are the ones working. And you think that they're the owners of the companies. It's a big no. Even to date, the number, as the statistics have been given, is 9%, which is quite low. And as a result of that, lots of discrimination. In addition to that, there is also the work-family life. Where do I subdivide the two? Some felt that my children were so young, I could not have afforded to live for anything. And as a result of that, as you all know, many of our meetings are in the evenings. An African woman leaving the family in the evening to go for a meeting, it might be something else, not just a meeting. So I really faced a lot of cultural challenges which had to be broken for me to get where I have come to. Thank you.
Some 13 years on, you're now on the executive board of CATO, and CATO, as I said, is the Kenya Association of Tour Operators. And the membership, I believe, of 400 members, 120, which is about 30%, are actually women-owned tour operators, so less than half, which is still not good. So a decade on from when you really started your business, what are some of the challenges African women or Kenyan women in business, in tourism, face in starting up? Has it changed a decade on?
Yes, a few things have changed, and particularly when it comes to now being accompanied by your husband, that has changed because we have a new constitution. And we can now own property and transact without necessarily carrying the husband around. But that has not changed the scenario altogether because of the culture. They still believe that they are the ones to command everything, which is really a problem when it comes to the entrepreneurs. In addition to that, being a male-dominated industry, women are being given third-party jobs to do. Meaning they do not have direct contacts with the suppliers, and therefore they have to go for third-party things. So it means that they are yet to start by themselves. Why is this so? Because of the networks. They are not able to network enough. They are not exposed to meetings and sessions like these ones. They are not able to get to the market because of the costs that are involved, and also the culture, as I've mentioned. In addition to that, we also have issues when it comes to finance, because these are very costly things. And for them to afford, it could be a tall order. It's also important for me to mention at this juncture that being women entrepreneurs in Kenya, we face a lot of I would not like to say that it is discrimination, but when it comes to the suppliers negotiating with women, I think there is sort of some discrimination there and unfairness, where you find that the contract given to a woman is different from one given to a man. Is it trust? I don't know. And that's why we are here to discuss how are we going to empower these entrepreneurs. Thank you.
Yeah, so it sounds like some things have changed, but there's still a whole lot more that hasn't changed. Michelle, whilst you're not an African entrepreneur, you work very closely with a lot of women entrepreneurs under the She Trades program. Can you first of all tell us a little bit about what She Trades is, about the program, and then perhaps go on. I know that ITC, the agency that She Trades works under, has done a whole lot of research on what the challenges are for women entrepreneurs in Africa. So start with what She Trades is and then talk about some of the challenges. Thank you.
Hello.
Yeah, I think, should we all use?
Okay, thank you very much. Good morning, everyone. So, yeah, Sea Trades. Maybe some of you already heard about Sea Trades. So, it's Sea Trades is an initiative by the International Trade Center. So, first of all, what is actually International Trade Center? International Trade Center is a United Nations body that focuses on empowering small and medium enterprises in developing country and transitioning economy country. And then also under International Trade Centers, we have an initiative called Sea Trades. Sea Trades work across sectors, so not only in tourism, but also other sectors like agriculture, textile and apparel, and also IT and BPO. And then Sea Trades has a mandate to connect 3 million women entrepreneurs by 2021 and 5 million by 2030. So we already work a lot. For instance, in Kenya, we have a lot of work in Kenya, but also we work in West Africa, like Ghana, Nigeria. We run a lot of projects. So we are funded by many different development, by many donors from country, for instance, like DFID, from the UK, DFAT from Australia, Finland, and many other donors. So that's first of all, Sea Trades. In terms of the challenge, I think Mary already explained the reality about how women entrepreneurs, in particular in Kenya, face the challenge in tourism. But we indeed conduct research surveying women entrepreneurs in services sectors, and the results of our research confirm some of the challenges that Mary already explained before. For instance, access to finance. Indeed, this is something that the woman entrepreneur cannot expand. For instance, they already have the business, but they cannot really expand their business bigger because their lack of, like finance or investment. And then secondly, we also find a lack of market information. For instance, how basically they got the information where to make business. To which buyers, to which market I should, that they need to get connected to. And then also about lack of marketing strategy and financial management, for instance. Because the thing is, like, as an entrepreneur, sometimes you mix the financial is basically mixed between your own household and also your business. So some of the women entrepreneurs, according to our research, they cannot differentiate. At the end, everything is mixed. They don't know whether they make profit or not because their lack of this knowledge in terms of financial management. That's some of the key basically results that concluded from our research about challenge of women entrepreneurs in tourism in Kenya.
I just want to touch on the gender pay gap. Mary, you mentioned that the constitution in Kenya changed. So in 2010, it was a great and sort of really hopeful time for women's rights in Kenya because the constitution changed and it basically forbid any gender discrimination. So now we're 8 years on from that, and I was reading a report last year, so it was a 2017 report, that said whilst tourism is booming in Africa, actually most of the opportunities are still going to the men, and the men are taking the higher paid jobs and the jobs that are much more stable. So it seems whilst there is this constitution, that actually the reality on the ground is that things haven't changed so much. But could you please tell us from your experience what some of the gender pay gap issues are?
Thank you very much. When it comes to the gender pay gap, I can say that as I have previously talked of the unfair businesses when it comes to gender, that one is an example by itself, whereby the vehicles, for example, if I were to let out my vehicles for safari, and a vehicle should cost $400 per day. You find that I get somebody who want to negotiate so much with me and would like to give it at $350, and therefore I just give it out knowing that I'm not making the right profit. When it comes to a man, they'll easily pay the $400. So quite a big difference. Also, again, on the ground, for the Favour Tours and Safaris, we own a tea farm. A tea farm which should be able to pay back the carbon credit that is spent while we have travelers on safari. And in this tea farm, I am expected to pay people at a higher rate than the normal rate. But then one day I went there and found a supervisor who was doing the payment to the workers. And I realized that men were getting double than what women were getting. And I asked, why is there a difference? I never knew this. After almost 2 years of operations, I did not know that they are getting different pays. Only to be told, no, here, this is how we do it. A woman gets half the pay of what men get. And therefore, I had to say, no, for me, this is my farm. I'm not saying you reduce what you're giving to men, but increase what you're giving to women to be at par. Yeah, because that is what the business is all about. It's a social enterprise, sort of, not majorly for profit. And therefore, I can confirm that that is truly there. Yes.
Sarah, one of your passions and also a lot of the work of AWT has been on the gender pay gap in the UK. And whilst you may not have data per se on Africa, what are some of the revealing statistics that you've learned from the UK that maybe can be lessons learned for African countries?
Thank you. I should firstly mention that it was from a fairly small sample, the report that we ran. It's the Women Empowerment Index, so it's not necessarily about the gender pay gap. However, the results from that, although it's a small sample, we felt fairly confident that it did reflect the wider industry. And I should also say it was produced prior to the ruling in the UK about gender pay transparency. But what it did reveal is that change is happening. And it did reveal that gender equality is on the increase. However, that said, there are still a lot of instances where women in the UK are being paid a lot less than their male counterparts. I should also say it's not travel specific. It runs across many sectors. I mean, we all had lots of... it was on the news with the BBC about how much their male executives were earning compared to their female executives. And their answer was for some of the males to drop their salaries. Well, that's not the answer. The answer is we want to earn what we should be earning. In the UK, we're fairly lucky in that there are quite a number of senior positions that are held by women. But when you look at board level, that's not necessarily extended. We still have that gap at the top. So we have to look at why that is. And in our survey, 40% of our respondents did say that they felt that working part-time and flexible hours could be disruptive to their careers, and so people would choose not to take that. And an equally high number also said that they felt that maternity and paternity leave was also career disruptive. So people were interestingly holding back from that as well. So there were some interesting points that came out of that.
Was there, in the study that's done, is there anything to say that women-owned tourism businesses in the UK have less gender pay gap than male-owned businesses?
And there was nothing in the report to suggest that. However, when you look at the number of women-owned SMEs in the UK... I mean, it is quite a high percentage, and I think that that's to try and overcome that flexibility, that the working hours, the flexibility side that they need, that which Mary touched on as well. I think that that is still an issue, and I think companies need to look at how they overcome that to move forward.
Yeah. Okay, so let's move on from what some of the challenges are and to what some of the solutions are to empowering African women through tourism. So, Mary, in Kenya, a lot of women in business, in tourism business, are still in the informal sector. They haven't yet made it into the formal sector. So what differentiates informal and formal? There's many different things, but one is business registration. So what are some of the ways that businesses like yourself can engage some of the informal sector ladies, whether they're in handicrafts, agriculture, to bring them in to the formal sector and to increase their access to market?
Thank you. There are so many ways of empowering women, particularly in tourism, because this is the only industry that has the highest multiplier effect looking at it. It touches basically almost all the other industries and therefore have a very long supply chain. When it comes to the informal sector, yes, there are quite a number of women entrepreneurs who are not in formal sectors, and we can empower them, particularly by ensuring that we enable them to register and formalize. How do we do this? This one can be done by ensuring that we take to them the real information of whatever is expected by those people who are consuming their goods, by mentoring them, coaching them, capacity building, to show them exactly what is required. In addition to that, we can also involve them. Right, for example, what I'm putting on is the work of women who are in the informal sector. My company, Favor Tours and Safaris, supports a women's group. How did we come up with them? Instead of working in individuals, we have brought them to work as a group. And when they work as a group, they come up with such, and we are able to take our travelers to them so that they can buy their wares. By doing this, we are increasing their capacity because we are showing them exactly what we want, what people want, and they can be able to be included into the supply chain. When it comes to farmers, for example, many women in Kenya are farmers. How do we integrate them into the system? We can only be able to do this by having policies in our working places such that 30% of anything that is bought in this company, 30% of it will have to come from women entrepreneurs. This has worked really well with some companies who are ready to do that, who are ready to assist in the equity matter, but not at any one time working down on the service quality. The quality has to be maintained, but then the 30% will go to these women. That's also another way of empowering them. The other thing is to ensure that we keep engaging with them, because if they are not given the information, they'll never know of what is happening and they will not be able to formalize. And it is our role to ensure that they formalize and come to the limelight.
Yeah, so I mean, what you're saying is that if you are operating in Kenya, it's really you should be reaching out to these ladies, not waiting for the ladies to reach you. Michelle, Chi Trades takes sort of a two-prong approach. You call it programs and partnerships to solve some of the challenges and empower African women. So can you just tell us a bit about what some of the programs are that you engage with and what some of the exciting partnerships that you have developed to help people like Mary and other African entrepreneurs increase their market access and have access not just to local markets but also to international markets? Maybe start with programs first.
Yeah. Exactly. I wanted to start with program because indeed the partnership is it's a tool to help expanding our program. So C-Trade's program in empowering women entrepreneurs in Africa cross sector, in particular in this regard in tourism sector. So we have two big programs. So it's first is with the capacity building activity, and the second one is the business generation activity. For capacity building activity, we do different type of activity. So not only on face-to-face training program, but also webinars. And we prove that over years that webinars it's also a good tool for the women entrepreneurs to learn and increase their knowledge. For instance, as Mary mentioned earlier, that it's not easy for the woman to sometimes to leave their children or etc. And since we are in tourism industry, it's indeed it's proof that all the women entrepreneurs in tourism sector, they really use the webinar tool to really learn more about what they need to improve in their business. So that's about capacity building activity. We also do coaching depending on the needs of the woman. And second one is the business generation activity. Business generation activity is not only supporting them to attend trade fair like at WTM and like giving them opportunity to meet many different international buyers, but also we do other things like, for instance, business matching. So as C-Trade, we also have and we are also welcome for our network of buyers to join us, and then we could help you to arrange logistics if you want to do inward trade missions, if you want to also get more reference about potentials, partner, either tour operators or accommodation providers in the country, we can help. We have indeed experience on that. Some buyers, we help them to facilitate them, connecting them with the women entrepreneurs, tour operators, or accommodation providers, finding the right partners. Because we will pre-select which women entrepreneurs that will fit with your company. And then also we will provide reliability, of course, to find the right partners. So it's and then also for instance, when we support them to attend this international trade fair, maybe some of them they already experienced, but some of them not. We indeed really prepare them very detailed on how they can prepare and meeting international buyer. For instance, we have the company profile exposing about their business, what kind of services that they offer, and also we also let them know about many details like at WTM London, what can they benefit from the event itself. For instance, we do also follow up webinars and how they should follow up with the people that they met here in WTM London. So all the strategy and tips for them in order to smoothen and expand their business. So all those details maybe later we also would like to invite you to visit our booth. It's just next to the Zimbabwe booth, so we can see it from here very clearly, and you can see many more women entrepreneurs that C-Trade support through our initiative. Thank you very much.
Sarah, AWT does a lot of work on building women's confidence. Can you explain some of the tools you use and some of the approaches you use to building the confidence of women in tourism?
Sure. Well, we run a number of development sessions. We use women from our own database, some of our members. We also use external people. And we look at things, we speak to the membership, but we do look at things like, for example, recently we've had a lady who markets herself as the queen of being seen. And so she will sit down with our members through the development sessions and run through things like how you can be seen online and offline. So whether that's on things like using LinkedIn, Facebook, social media, because that's paramount these days, or whether it's offline. So how you present yourself in a meeting, how you do your presentations when you're in a meeting, across the board. We've also done things like finance sessions, we're looking at doing some vocal coaching, that sort of thing. So it's just looking at how we can really build that confidence so that you can reach out and really grasp your get your business moving.
Yeah. And you talk about the imposter syndrome. I'm not sure whether this is the right point to bring this in, but it's something that's interests me. So can you just tell us a little bit about how the imposter syndrome impacts gender equality and whether it's a challenge, a solution, how
sure.
that fits in?
I mean, this is an area that interests me, and I think, well, the imposter syndrome, for those that aren't necessarily aware of it, is that underlying fear as a woman that perhaps we've got that job more through luck than judgment, that there's probably someone out there that could do a much better job than I could. I think we all have this inbuilt fear in us, and so it's down to us to overcome that and finding tools to boost our confidence that actually we can go out and get that job, we can run our business, and use all of the tools available to us. And so that's what we look at with our development sessions, is how we overcome this barrier that we probably put up ourselves.
Yeah, interesting. The role of technology, particularly in travel and tourism, is absolutely key. And in some of the countries I work in, from the Solomon Islands to Myanmar, the one thing that really surprises me is the number of women-run businesses who are not yet online. So, Mary, can you give me some of your experiences about how you have got online? Are you online? What are some of the benefits that you've received from maybe She Trades or other people who've mentored you to help you on the technology front?
Thank you. I can say that particularly in this age and era, we cannot run away from technology. And if we run away from it, then we'll be left behind forever. And we are not ready to do that. So as women, we've taken up technology. In Kenya, most of the parts of the country, you can easily get access to internet. We are well connected, and even in the rural areas, most of the places, actually, it's almost now 60% covered by network. Website, yes. Facebook, yes. Twitter, yes. Skype, what else? Instagram, no. So I am there. I'm coming. Wherever I'm not, I'm coming. But I'm sure there are some people who are so technology savvy. So it's that is me. But I'm sure there are others who have gone far. When it comes to assistance from She Trades, I would like to say that I really benefited from them, particularly because of the webinars. It is very, very difficult for one to pay for a training and attend the training in the location that it's supposed to be. But because of technology, they are able to do this via webinars. We are able to ask questions. We are able to learn at our own free time, because some of the courses are open whereby you can learn at your own free time. And this has really built capacity, not only in Kenya, but also in other parts of the world where She Trade is working. Today we have Kenya and Ghana that are in AF470, and I would like you to visit them because they are technology savvy.
And Sarah, you actually are a business owner yourself and in a travel trade marketing solutions business. So I'm assuming that technology plays a big part in some of the consulting work that you do with your clients. So can you maybe give some tips to those African women on what type of technologies they should be engaging with to help increase access to market?
In this era, I think you can't ignore social media. I think you have to get out there, whether that is on more sort of chatty forums such as Facebook, but also use things like LinkedIn, expand your network. You just need to make sure that you are being seen. You need to make sure that you're expanding your network all the time in order to become that more visible. It's great to hear what Mary's engaging in. I think also things for entrepreneur owners, entrepreneurs as well, things like webinars, lots of reading into new technologies, what's going on. You just need to keep be aware of the market, what's occurring.
Yeah. I guess if I dig a little deeper into that question, what are the, obviously as a business owner, we're about generating revenue. So what are some of the key technologies, online platforms that women entrepreneurs should be on that will help generate revenue? I mean, does Facebook and Twitter generate revenue? I question that perhaps it doesn't. But so what are some of the key platforms that women entrepreneurs should be on?
Well, I mean, like
OTAs, for example. You know, is TripAdvisor absolutely essential for any woman entrepreneur? I would say yes, it is.
As a tour operator, you mean?
As any business.
I mean, you could argue that TripAdvisor now has just become another social media platform. But in terms of OTAs, you've still got to always question the cost of business and the return on investment. As long as you're constantly on top of that, then, you know, that's where you need to be.
Michelle, through She Trades, you're developing a partnership or have developed a partnership with Facebook. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, sorry that in my previous, I forgot to mention about partnership. Yeah, so basically, C-Trades in running our program, we do partner with many relevant partners. Of course, for instance, like for digital marketing, we partner with Facebook. So we had a project before. It was not in Africa. It was in Sri Lanka and Indonesia, and we partner with Google and also with Facebook Asia Pacific. So they can provide the women entrepreneurs in tourism, more like sessions about digital marketing and also about, for instance, just like marketing in general, like how to capture the right photo to be, displayed in your website, and also how to utilize social media platforms. And also C-Trades itself, www.ctrades.com. So we do have a platform for where women entrepreneurs could get connected with our pool of buyers. So this platform is open not only for the women entrepreneurs, but also for potential buyers from across the world and sector. So please do register if you're interested, and indeed it's a really good pool. In terms of our partnership with Facebook Asia Pacific, so and we plan to also expand with Facebook in both in West Africa and also in East Africa, about how basically we could leverage their knowledge and also update on all the social media technology, Instagram, because Facebook and Instagram, they are not together also. This is very good for tourism. Why? Because tourism, we have no products. So it's services. So, I mean, in order to explain to people, to tell to people how good we are in providing services, this digital marketing, this platform, all the social media, website, and etc., it's indeed a really good tool. This is maybe the only language that you can first tell to potential buyers or anyone that want to partner with you. So this is very crucial for all the women entrepreneurs. That's why we don't want to lose the opportunity with all our partners, including Google and Facebook, to benefit from them, and they can also benefit the women entrepreneurs in Africa.
I'm going to open it out to the floor for questions. So anyone got any questions for the panelists? Yeah, Alexandra.
Yes, thank you to the panel. Thank you very much. Hello to see you. Nice to see you all. It's Alessandra Alonso from Women in Travel. I wanted to ask specifically a question to Mari. Obviously very interesting to hear what you had to say. Now, my question to you is, you know, when I was in Cape Town last year running the Women in Travel at World Travel Market, I was really impressed with the number of women entrepreneurs that indeed exist in Africa. And of course, that was, you know, focused mostly around South Africa. So it would be interesting for me to understand the, do you see your situation as one that is common to all women in businesses in Africa? Do you think that, you know, some of the barriers are the same everywhere? Do you see any good practice, or have you experienced anyone, you know, sharing good practice in women in business, particular travel and tourist businesses? Thank you.
Thank you, Alenso. And I would say that from experience and the chats that I've been having with many women, I believe most of the constraints are the same. Most of them are the same. When it comes to family matters, women will always go for maternity leave, whether you are in Kenya or you are in Europe. So the challenge is the same. You have a sick child, whether it is in Europe or in Kenya, it's the same thing. So some of the challenges are the same. When it comes to finances, it could be the same. I believe also, I didn't mention that when it comes to technology, there are some of the packages that are very expensive for us to buy as women entrepreneurs. And I believe that that is a common thing for many of us who are still using Excel sheets instead of other packages that could make work easier for us. The best practice that I could mention is of women who are ready to support others. And one of the biggest problems that I've been having, and a question that has been bothering me silently, is that many of my suppliers are male. Are there women in the room? Can we do something? So best practice, yes, they are there, whereby you have policies on what you're supposed to do and who you're supposed to work with. We are not talking of sacrificing of quality. We are tried and we have passed the test. As Michelle has said it, lots of capacity building has been done, and therefore I can say that we have what it takes.
Yes, Carol.
Hello, I'm Carol from the Fabulous Tourism Academy, and I have another question for you, Mary. Sorry, we're making you work today. We've talked about the challenges, but I'm very interested in knowing about your achievements. So in the past couple of years on your journey, what is your biggest achievement so far as a businesswoman in Kenya?
Wow, that's a question that I would not have expected, but it's a good question, Carol. And I would say that one of the achievements was it has been to ensure that women put food on the table. SDG number one, no hunger. And this has come as a result of including many of them in my supply chain, ensuring, as I have said, I'm working with lots of women groups who are in beadwork, and I'm also working with lots of them in the tea farm, as I had mentioned earlier. And the fact that they are now being paid the same with men, it makes them able to put food on the table. As you may have realized, women have more responsibility. I don't know whether it is the same here, but in Africa, a woman has a lot of responsibility. You almost carry the whole family on your back. You are the one to know whether children will go to school or not, whether they will dress or not. The man might not be very keen on whatever they are putting on, provided they are not naked, they are okay. But as a result of that, it puts women at a position where they need to be economically liberated. And that is one of the achievements. When I see
when I go to the farm and I realize that women are making it, they are having something to put on the table, I feel, yes, I have made it. Thank you.
We've got time for one more question. Yeah.
Thank you. It's a question for all the panel. How would you like, in practical terms, for men who believe in equal opportunity to act as allies?
Should I take that first? I completely agree. We can't do this on our own. We absolutely have to engage our male colleagues to get their buy-in. As much as I love my women's association, that's one thing, but also we do need to engage male colleagues in order to get to where we need to. We need you to, our male colleagues, to understand our needs, what we want. And actually, at AWTE, we've got male members now. We've had them for a couple of years for that very reason.
I also would like to comment on that. We are not trying to push away the boy child. We are not. We cannot make it alone. We need you. And more importantly, as I had mentioned, this is a male-dominated industry. And we should not lie to each other. We all know that it is a male-dominated industry. How can we run away from you? What we are calling for is more partnerships, more working with you, more integration, so that we are able to move from where we are to where we want to be. And this is why we are talking of equity and not equality. Thank you.
To start with, in T-Trade's teams, we have equal number of men and women who work under T-Trade's initiative. And secondly, indeed, as mentioned before, that we cannot disregard men. So having men being aware of women inclusive, ecosystem or women inclusive environment in tourism business, and how to empower women, it is already something. Yeah, and then we are always open. Men are our important clients, so having you already aware of this issue, it means that it's opened up for us women to partner with you. So I hope it's more economic opportunity for the women entrepreneurs.
And more men need to come to sessions like this. I can count maybe about 10% women in this whole group here. One last question in the back.
Thank you. Okay, I'm from Nigeria. And I got to know about the She Trades yesterday. And I was shocked that we don't have any Nigerian among the She Trade Zone for tourism. And in Nigeria, the case is very peculiar. We have more women in the tourism industry than the men. So I don't know what you can do about that so that we can also be part of it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. And everyone is welcome to join C-Trades. As I mentioned, you can always register in www.ctrades.com. We can have further discussion after this. However, I want to mention why Nigeria is not together with Kenya and Ghana at this time, because in one of the project funded by DFID by the UK, basically we work on tourism in Ghana and Kenya. But it doesn't mean that Nigerian women entrepreneurs in tourism cannot join us. You're always welcome. And also, please come also to our reception later. Libby will mention more details about that. And yeah, always welcome.
Okay, I'd like to give these three ladies a huge round of applause. Thank you very much for participating. And I'd also like to give every woman in this building who is an entrepreneur in tourism a big round of applause.